Welcome to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. Whether you're a contractor, architect, designer, or building owner, we're here to help you build better with metal roofing and siding products.
What's ahead for the metal roofing and siding industry? Steady growth or a major slowdown? I'm your host, Kathy Miller with McElroy Metal, and today we're thrilled to be joined by Paul Trombetas with FMI Consulting, one of the most trusted names in construction market forecasting. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm excited to be here and privileged to be able to be on the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have your information. And of course, we're hoping you're going to tell us that we have nothing but sunny skies ahead. But as we get through our conversation, we'll see if you can deliver on that. So before we get started, Paul, can you give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself and FMI Consulting for those who may not already be familiar with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for that. Yeah, so Paul Trombetas, I'm one of the partners at FMI, and I'm in our strategy practice for a consulting business. And I lead the team that's focused working with manufacturers and distributors and material providers. So really building products overall. And today I'm excited to share our outlook on the metal roofs and metal wall space, as well as just our overall perspective on the construction industry. And so what's unique about FMI, we've been in business for 70 years and two sides of our business. We have a management consulting group and an investment banking. And for that 70 years, the only industry we've worked in is construction. So our clients are general contractors, trade contractors, architects, engineers, building product manufacturers, and any of the associations that are involved in the industry. So the folks that work at FMI have a very intimate and strong knowledge of the nuances and challenges that firms face in the industry. So provides us a really great opportunity to gain those unique insights.
Absolutely. And 70 years, especially focused in our industry, is absolutely huge. And one of the reasons I was so excited to have you join the show, I think our listeners are really going to benefit from the information you can share with us today, Paul.
Thank you, Kathy. I look forward to it.
All right. So let's dig in. Let's start with the elephant in the room, as they say. When you look ahead to 2026, what are your thoughts?
So that's a great question. And so I like to start you. Where are we in our current situation? And what's interesting looking at our forecast, and it's always interesting to say that total spending in 2024 was $2.1 trillion in construction. Now, if we look at our forecast through 2029, we anticipate it to be a right around a 3.7% growth rate annually from 25 to 29 and reaching 2.5 trillion. Now, certainly the last year and certainly 25 have been less than desirable, if you will. We certainly see as we move forward into 26 more stabilization and towards the end, lighter half really a return to growth. And what's I think really important to think about is of total construction, really breaking it down into the main three sectors, so residential, non-res, and non-building. So when we look at residential, you over the forecast of that 25 to 29 period, 3.2% growth versus non-residential is 3.7% and non-building is at 4.6%. Now, it's interesting because residential is the largest percentage of the overall market at 42%. Annually, we anticipate spending to be right around $960 billion versus non-residential represents right around 39% of the total market and annually about $890 billion. And the third being non-building, so that's your really infrastructure-heavy conservation development, oil, gas, power, at 19% of the market and right around $435 billion. But when we take a step back and you think about the overall market, no one chases 100% of that marketplace. And we like to think of it more as the Dow. And it gives a good sense of the strength, the health of the market, and how you can compare the markets that you're operating in against the overall running in the industry. And another piece is, if we continue to see an uptick in growth over the next several years, what does that mean in terms of how folks are going to be more, our firms can be more selective, less strategic about pursuing project versus if we see more stable or stagnant with our firms going to start sharpening their pencils a little bit and getting more aggressive to pursue projects to fill backlog, keep their crews busy. So it's a great way just to get a good sense of where we are and how your business and the markets you participate in compared to that. So we just answer the question in short. 26 we see as more of a stabilizing year and growth really into the 27-28.
Okay. Well, I guess stable's better than down, right? Yes. So we'll take what we can get. All right. So one other quick thing before we really dig in, and I know I'm going to put some slides up to, you know, kind of give people a visual as you're talking today, but I don't know that everybody's aware of how you guys get your information, Paul. So without getting too much in the weeds, kind of share with our listeners, if you would, you know, the source of the data you're going to share today.
Certainly. So for the overall market, we have an economic model that we've developed over that 7-year period that we use as a base foundation. And then we incorporate planned projects, projects in planning, current projects in construction to get that real likelihood of occurrence, to make sure that we have the right projects incorporated in our forecast. And then the third piece is getting the boots on the ground perspective. So speaking with CEOs of various firms, from contractors to manufacturers, and as well as owners, and understanding where they are in their cycle of capital programs, the spending, or are they shifting from maybe they had a major capital program and now it's going to be a smaller project. So we like to call it more of a triangulating method of top down, bottom up, and then market validation.
That makes total sense, right? You have three pieces of the pies to get the whole picture, so to speak.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, take us on your journey. What information can you share with us today?
So I thought it would be helpful to share about, when we look at the total market, how does that break out by the various segments? And so when we think about the segments within the market, to me, what's particularly fascinating is the sub-segments within each that support growth and demand and volume moving forward. And so this is where we can really see what's occurring. And I like to say that looks can be deceiving. So for instance, data centers is probably the fastest growing market. And over the forecast period, going from roughly $40 billion towards $77 billion in 2029. So 17% annual growth. But data centers is included in the office segment. And if you look at the office segment overall, you see an 8% growth rate. But if you take out data centers, office then turns to less than 1% growth over that forecast period. And so I think that's one of the nuances and interesting dynamics is the sub-segments that are driving growth. And a couple other segments, so warehouse, for instance, which is housed in commercial, seeing the favorable growth under the forecast period, 5%. And both data centers and warehouse are going to represent 50% of their overall segment. So data centers being over 50% of office through 2029 and warehouse being over 50% of commercial through 2029. Now, with some other segments that we see being favorable, education, certainly one of the largest spending segments in terms of dollar put in place for construction. So roughly $140 billion annually. And then healthcare, another one where we've seen a shift from more of the outpatient clinics to larger healthcare expansion projects. So this year we saw 11 projects that were over $1 billion get announced, three of which we knew major expansions. And then last year, we saw 15 projects, maybe $500 million, and seven of those were over $1 billion. And so we're starting to see a shift in that space. And then the other piece that I like to think about is geography and how that plays a critical role in where activities occur. There's a report that was released by the SEC that showed over the last 15 years, the number of corporations relocating out of the current geographies of a state to a new state. And last year, it was the highest percentage of corporations relocating. So 10% of corporations relocating. And they were relocating to more of the secondary cities. So Raleigh, Charlotte, Tampa, Orlando, Nashville. And so what we're starting to see is this transition of those primary cities, either LA and Chicago and New York. And now the net migration of really transferring to secondary cities. So over the next 5 and even 10 years, those will start to move up and in all the infrastructure needed, the education, culture, support and growth. Is going to drive a lot of new statute spending in those areas. So that's from just an overall market standpoint, I think, some key highlights.
Yeah. And I'll put the graphic you have up on the screen here. And I think, that is fascinating information. And to your point too, right? Today the corporations move, but of course then that's going to drive population and roads and infrastructure and all of those other things. So, very interesting the roll down that you could see in those areas in the future.
100%. Well, I think what's important though is the metal space. And so you want to dive in there?
Let's do it. Yeah.
So
I'm ready.
I thought it'd be good to break out metal roofs and then metal bar. This is a study that we've been doing with the Metal Construction Association for about 10 years now. And then in the last three, we decided to start to break it down by product groups. And I'll share a little bit about that. But when we look at total metal roof square footage, the volume metal roof is anticipated to be over 5 billion square feet in 2029. That's from 25 to 29, 465 million square feet of incremental growth. I love talking about the metal roof and wall space because it's just such an area that has received a lot of interest and we've seen a lot of growth. And even so, when we look at the total roof market compared to metal roof is outperforming it pretty substantially. And when we break it down by metal roofing in residential, the largest is certainly residential. So 3.8 billion square feet in anticipated in 2029. And it represents really 85% of metal roof. And the majority of that is in the re-roofing space, which aligns with just the general roof trend. But what's interesting is when we break out new construction in metal roofing, that is anticipated to be the highest growth area in metal roofing. And that's new homes and really driven by a number of factors, including social aspects, but also the aesthetics, the durability, longevity, and greater awareness of the benefits associated with having a metal roof. And so we see that as a very positive area for the metal roofing space. And another piece that helps fuel the re-roofing side is if you look at the number of U.S. homes right now. So 60% of U.S. homes are 30 years or older. And so really helping to fuel the re-roofing activity in metal roofing. And then we'll think about a product mix between residential, large percentage being stainless steel. So 65% of the market stainless steel, followed by shingles at 20%. And where we're seeing that highest volume or concentration really in the South and Pacific, and particularly as well as the West Coast.
So, I think that's really interesting and a great takeaway, right, for our listeners. If somebody is not currently in the residential metal roofing space, it could be a good niche they want to consider getting into, right, and shoring up their marketing efforts and their install crews, et cetera, because there is going to be a lot of opportunity there. So over the years, we've seen homeowner sentiment and confidence and understanding of the benefits of metal roof go from zero to where you're right, Paul. Now people enter into the conversation ready to go, and it's just a matter of which type of product they want, as opposed to, metal roof, thinking it's an inferior product. People now realize that it's actually a superior product. So
absolutely. And the other piece of it is we're starting to see more metal roof through distribution. So the large Genius beers, which has benefited the market in terms of now there's greater access to not just the larger roofing contractors, but the regional and local contractors now gaining experience, familiarity, gaining that education around the benefits of metal roofing. And so that has also contributed to the strong growth in the marketplace as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. By chance, do you have any information for our listeners, Paul, about the difference in product mix or what types of products might be stronger or a bigger part of the market?
Yeah, I would say so. So for residential, certainly the standing seam, largest percentage of the marketplace. Then next behind that, shingles and then roof fastening. Now, when we look at the non-residential space, a favorable market as well. So 780 million square feet in 2025. And it is in the metal roof space, the largest percent. So 30% of roofs are in non-res going towards metal. And then within that, commercial and industrial representing the largest share of that space, so 65%. And you see the largest growth in the commercial space over the forecast period. And the mix there is very similar, standing seam being 60%, and then the next being through fastened. So we certainly see that the standing seam being the leader in the marketplace, and certainly on the architectural side, a big piece for non-res. And the other one is on the education and just overall institutional aspect, the importance of longevity, durability, really benefiting the growth and selection of metal roofing in non-residential.
That's fabulous news for the industry. So I know several years ago, the Metal Construction Association sponsored a very long-term study and came out that you could realistically expect metal roofs to last 60-plus years. And really, that kind of started changing the rhetoric, right, in the conversations around metal.
Absolutely. And the other interesting factor that we joke around at FMI is the Chip and Joanna Gaines factor, in that these outside of the industry influences having significant impact and a different way to showcase the benefits, educate the market, which are starting to have a real material impact. And so that is also driving a lot of the growth as well.
Yeah, we've had some influencers be very friendly to the industry, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And that on the metal roof side, the outlook very favorable, and starting to see, given the favorability of that space, starting to see a lot of interest outside of the U.S. to enter the U.S. market. And then also, so when I think about metal roof and metal wall, metal wall is also seeing very similar growth. So smaller market, roughly 360 million square feet, but similar to metal roof compared to the total wall market, it is outperforming. And a big driver from really 21 through 23 was the manufacturing space. And it's leveled off more so into 25 and 26, but still a major driver of the use of metal wall, but also data centers, cold storage being a big engine for metal, particularly the IMP side. So on the metal wall, we see 29 commercials really looking favorable with 29% total growth and institutional 16%. And with the product mix there, we see IMP at 50% of the market, and that is largely driven by the sheer volume that's being experienced, one data center and the manufacturing. But behind that, it seems at about 30%, and then following that is MCN, PCN.
So, yeah, that's interesting that you really have, you know, three segments, but that IMP really is at this point anyway, and it makes sense with data centers. Is that where you're seeing the largest use of IMPs,
yes,
Paul?
Yes, very much so. Very strong market for IMPs, and as I noted earlier, data centers is just continuing to grow, so fostering that growth.
Absolutely. So to click back just a minute to roofs, are you, and just curious, are you seeing IMP roofing panels used heavily in data centers as well, or is that limited mostly to walls?
It's been limited more to walls, but we are starting to see interest and new products related around the IMP roofing systems. So that's certainly something we're hearing more about.
Okay.
In conversation. And the other piece, to note on the wall side, now we have not traditionally in the MCA study looked at residential metal wall, but that has been a major topic of discussion from folks that we speak with in the industry, and just to be a lot more accent walls, particularly new homes, given the social influence that we're seeing in a lot of folks that we participated in the MCA study noted that is a very, very favorable market.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I had a guest on the show a few weeks ago that's a contractor up in the northeast of the U.S., of course, and they specialize and focus on purely metal residential roofing. And he was sharing that, you know, over the past couple of years, they have continued to have more and more increase in residential wall, metal wall panels as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, at first they would just say, no, you know, we don't offer that. And finally they thought, well, okay, everybody's asking for it. Let's start doing it. And so that's a real world confirmation of what you're saying. They are seeing it as well. So
absolutely. That's a big one. Certainly see that being taking a larger share moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. We have a product on our website for architects, and it's called Light Beams, and it's a way that they can do some 3D renderings and whatnot to kind of help when they're doing design and in their projects. And I was looking at some reports yesterday, and a wall panel actually is the number one. Actually, it's numbers 1 through 3 of the images that they're working with right now. So it's definitely a trend that we're going to watch continue to grow and evolve.
And that through what you just said, that those technology and the tools to look at various products and configurations, that is also a contributor in that. But growth, as you mentioned earlier, and I think that's just such a huge benefit for folks to visualize, because people love to touch and see what it's going to look like, and that just makes it such a huge difference.
100% agreed. Okay, so anything else on walls that we should know, Paul?
No, I think both the roof and wall space continuing to see growth and moving forward. It's an exciting market. I love the metal roof and wall space because of just the momentum it's gained and how it is evolving, and just the education and awareness of the benefits, and certainly the board is going to continue.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time for sure. I'm going to show a slide here that I think does a really great job of summarizing kind of what you've talked about. And it talks, I'll let you kind of walk our listeners through it, but it's, you have metal roof products and you haven't broken out and kind of highlight the percent of growth, and then metal walls as well. Paul, if you want to just kind of take us through that real quick as a summary snapshot.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at the total over 25 to 29, that time frame, looking at metal as a percentage of the total roof space, and then how that breaks out by residential, so replacement versus new, and then within residential, how it breaks out by standing seam, roof fast, and shingles, and then on the non-res side, breaking it down by what percentage of square foot represents commercial, industrial, agricultural, and institutional, and within those, what does standing seam, through fast, and shingles, and IMP represent? So it gives a good sense of breaking down the layers of total market, where the segments are using it, and then the products that is going into their segments.
I agree. And again, you know, from a contractor standpoint, if I'm looking at a way to diversify my business or grow a new market, this is, I think, a great way to say, you know what, IMPs, okay, they're going to be up 8%. Maybe I want to have a crew that learns to install IMPs. You know, same thing with shingles or standing seam, et cetera. So I think really valuable information there for our listeners. So let's talk a little bit about the competitive landscape. Any information for you to share with us there, Paul?
So certainly on one of the factors, more and more interest, and we're seeing outside non-traditional metal roofing firms see the growth and be interested in looking to make investments in the space. And we've seen certainly on the top end of the market, a lot of acquisitions occur. And then also on the smaller side of the market, on-site roll forming. And so we're seeing both from the top end and on the smaller side, just all of those factors combining to help drive metal. So certainly the competitive landscape is increasing, but at the same time, the size of the pie is growing. So being a greater opportunity and just pushing the market forward. So certainly more competitors, but as a result, certainly the pie and the size of the market has benefited as well.
You know, what a wonderful position to be in, right? It could be constricting in multiple ways, right? We could be taken and having lower business and more competitors. And so to experience both at the same time, you don't get that very often.
You don't. And then you also, from the outside market dynamics, you have from a sustainability standpoint and resiliency, the energy efficiency, building performance, and the emphasis there and the funding available, as well as recyclable materials, and then IRA, the funding and to address energy codes. And then you have states that are clearly favoring metal roofs with grants and credits. So I think Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, there's a number of others. And then really on an insurance standpoint, insurance-driven re-roofing driving a lot of volume, certainly moving to metal as a way to hedge against risk related to hail, to wind, fire, and homeowners really looking at how do we better, for lack of a better term, fortify our homes to be resilient and have the emphasis on a stronger roof and code plus almost, if you will. And so there's a number from the sustainability, resiliency, the incentives, government, statewide, and then the insurance, all these dynamics converging to help drive the growth as well.
Agreed. And we have seen, you know, as I'm sure you've seen as well, you know, the state of Florida is in the at the cusp of making some very major changes and recommendations that will do nothing but be incredibly favorable to metal roofing. So that'll, and of course walls as well. So that'll be exciting to see how that continues to provide benefit for the entire industry.
A story I like to share, and it just shows how metal roof is growing. And so the neighbor across the street, unfortunately, their house caught fire and they had to do a total renovation. And they ended up going with a metal roof. And this was about 2 years ago at this point. And so we have neighborhoods of about 50 homes. They were the first house to have a metal roof. Since then, there are 7 other homes in our neighborhood that now have metal roofs because it looks so good. And the other aspect is from given the affordability, the rates, just the challenging market for real estate, the individuals looking at ways to differentiate their homes through a year of active sale and lending itself to metal roof. And so that's another factor that you're seeing as well.
Yep, that's a great point, you know, and again, you know, the sentiment it's really shifted over the last decade. It used to be metal roofs were maybe looked down upon, and again, people thought they were cheap or an inferior, people thought they would hear rain through them, right? And now the conversation has completely flipped, right? To all of the things you've talked about, from sustainability to long-term cost versus first-term cost. I mean, even energy efficiency, right? You know, metal roofing is a great partner to solar, which we haven't even touched on today. And so, you know, that's a whole nother dynamic. So, speaking about dynamics, Paul, is there anything from a distribution cycle that we need to talk about today as we kind of wrap up our time together?
I would say just kind of going back to the point of distribution being, you know, there's the consolidation among the major distributors, and you have more metal products going through distribution, enabling a wider range of contractors to build that familiarity and experience with metal. So I think that's certainly a very evolving dynamic that we've seen, you know, just in the last few years. And I would say just, you know, when you think about considerations in this space, and if you look into the future, it's, you know, where are the right opportunities to focus on? So certainly residential is very favorable, both new and re-roofing. But on the non-residential side, the growth in data centers and cold storage and resilience-driven focus to fortify and ensure that mission-critical facilities can operate. So healthcare, education, data centers, manufacturing, all really very bright spots in terms of the segments. And then you have the evolving dynamics that we talked about from distribution, as well as the smaller wall formers that are on site. And so those are certainly key considerations in understanding how the market is changing in the landscape in terms of the continued use of the smaller, or excuse me, the on-site wall formers to the distribution channel, to the opportunities of growth in residential and both non-residential. And so for firms that are thinking about the metal space, is a lot of opportunity in where you target the right slice of the opportunity.
Well, I realize when I invited you to join the show today, Paul, you could have given us bad news, but I'm hearing nothing but great news ahead. So thanks for sharing some positive outlook with listeners as we kind of wrap up 25, which doesn't even seem possible, and start to think towards 26. So anything as final thoughts do you want to share with our listeners before we wrap up for today?
I would say just kind of final thoughts in terms of the overall market. See 2026 really more of a stabilizing year, in the latter half being more of that poised for growth, and in the 27. But then when we'll break it down to the metal roof and wall, certainly continued growth, continued expansion and interest in the marketplace. So a very favorable opportunity.
Awesome. And again, a great time to consider getting into the industry or the market if you're not, or even to maybe still start to take and grow some crews if you, you know, to be ready for that maybe bigger push in 27. So, Paul, if any of our listeners want to connect with you personally or with FMI Consulting, can you tell them how they might get that done?
Certainly. So website as well, and then certainly on LinkedIn, please feel free to reach out, and we'll share my contact information as well, and always happy to hop on a call and discuss any areas of interest or additional insights. Always happy to share.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us, Paul. I'm sure that our listeners took away more than one kernel of wisdom today, and again, a nice positive lift as we wrap up the year. So thanks again.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at www.mcelroymetal.com for more info and products. Until next time, keep building with metal.